And welcome to a gentleman who was at the debate last night at the Gilliard Auditorium. He is the editor of the Charleston City Paper, and he is playing Dr. Frankenstein in the new issue of the City Paper, putting together with mad political science the perfect South Carolina Democratic candidate for 2020. We say hello and good morning to Sam Spence. How you doing, Sam?
Good morning, Richard. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Was it a late night there being at the Gilliard? Was it crazy? Can you tell us what was your initial reaction to what was a political spectacle at the Gilliard and outside the Gilliard as well?
It was a spectacle in pretty much every sense of the word. I mean, over 500 credentialed press for the evening last night, televised internationally on CBS streaming. You know, all the familiar faces you know from CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, they're all there, and including the City Paper and all the local reporters you know well, too.
Well, it was fun. It was a very contentious debate. There was a sense of urgency among the candidates because I think some of their campaigns may be coming to an end very soon, some sooner than others. You know, that there's a lot on the line with the uncertainty going into Saturday's primary. Was there something that you saw that resonated with you being in the room that maybe us folks on the outside watching on TV maybe missed?
Well, you know, I think Joe Biden had to do well last night because he is pretty much the only one on that stage that's really running to win in South Carolina and has to win in South Carolina. And he did pretty well. You know, I think he had a pretty strong night. He held his own in situations where he may not have before. You know, in Nevada, he was not as strong, you know, when Bloomberg kind of came on as a surprise. But you know, afterwards, I think everybody was kind of talking about how Biden just kind of held his own and Sanders continues to be the front runner, even though he is trailing just a little bit here in South Carolina.
That was even after Biden's sort of gaffe about the 150 million people that have been killed with handguns since 2009 or something. I think that's kind of egregious error.
Well, it's one of those things in the spin room immediately afterwards. You know, everybody hasn't done all their fact checks and all everybody's seen everything floating by on Twitter. And so most of the talk immediately after the debate is about, you know, how these candidates have situated themselves. And we were in what's called the spin room.
You know? Yeah, how is the spin? Tell us about the spin room, because I do like watching the spin room after these debates. And you were in there. What is that like?
You know, it's kind of little pieces of chaos mixed with, you know, pieces of quiet. You know, you see all the TV people up there doing their interviews. You know, the candidates are floating through, and you know, every once in a while, a consultant or a surrogate, you know, these high profile endorsees come through, and they are holding court. You know, I have some pictures that I took last night that look just like every crazy political picture you've ever seen. You know, one person with microphones in their face and cameras pointed at them, and everyone looking every which way. And, you know, right behind them is another group of people doing that. And, you know, so it's a little bit of chaos, but, you know, everybody's in there making their case and providing their spin.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique environment, and this has been a pretty unique week here in the Lowcountry, and it's only Ash Wednesday, so there's still so much to go with town halls and all kinds of events, the primary on Saturday, and, oh, yeah, the president coming to town on Friday at the Coliseum. We're talking with Sam Spence, the editor of the Charleston City Paper, and your cover story in the new City Paper that just came out today, Mad Political Science Creating the Perfect South Carolina Candidate for 2020, because there really isn't that one candidate that seems to be perfect amongst the Democrats. There's a lot of infighting going on right now. So you've taken attributes from each of the candidate to try to create the perfect candidate, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think everybody has a few things from each candidate that they like. You know, personally, I don't really have a favorite in the race, actually. But you know, there are things in a lot of the candidates that I really like, and I think there are things that will inform how the Democrats move ahead going forward. You know, the case could be made that without Bernie Sanders being as outspoken as he's been for the past 2 years, Elizabeth Warren wouldn't have the airtime to be able to talk about the progressive issues she's talking about. So all of these candidates kind of influence each other. And so, yeah, we just set out to kind of identify the most beneficial or kind of attributes that we think people should pay attention to the most from each of these candidates.
And running down a couple of these here, in good government, you mentioned Senator Elizabeth Warren. She definitely is positioning herself as somebody who, I'm like Bernie Sanders, but I actually get stuff done and I'm a better alternative to him.
She's kind of in an unenviable situation where she is a true policy wonk. I mean, she's a nerd up there talking about policy, whereas she's not in the front of the race, and so she's not taking a lot of the flack that someone like Bernie Sanders is. But she is taking the time that she does get to talk about regulatory issues and ending the filibuster in the Senate, which are not really things that you hear candidates talk about on a presidential race.
Very often. She hasn't turned her strong debate performances into delegates. She hasn't won any delegates since Iowa, and this is getting to be crunch time here with South Carolina Saturday and then next Tuesday, Super Tuesday. For foreign policy and institutional experience, you mentioned that Joe Biden has the experience on foreign policy, even though, Sam, playing devil's advocate, I'll come back at you and say that Joe Biden has been almost wrong on every single foreign policy issue over the last few decades.
Well, you know, there's no arguing with the fact that he has been in the United States Senate for almost 40 years, 38 years, first elected in the early 1970s. And, you know, for some people that is a negative. But, you know, it's also sets him apart from everyone else in the field. He was chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Has cast some bad votes in the past. I think even he would say that. You heard Senator Sanders say the same thing last night.
Absolutely.
You know, a little bit of that is a little bit of hand-waving to try to get them back on their own talking points.
But did Joe Biden have like a major gaffe here in Charleston this week when he was citing the wrong premier of China, the one that's been dead for a quarter of a century, and just those kinds of little things cause people to still question whether he's up for the job?
Oh, for sure. You know, and these, you know, these guys have been running for president for a year at the least, you know, so they're running from event to event. I wasn't at the event where you mentioned, I think Joe Biden had a couple weird quotes that caused people to double take a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you have to kind of decide for yourself whether, you know, it's just kind of the fatigue of the campaign coming on, or if it is, you know, someone who is truly ignorant of the issues. And I don't think that anyone would say Biden is actually ignorant of the issues.
Well, as you said, this is a must-win for him on Saturday. Yeah. And the rest of your Frankenstein monster of a Democratic candidate, the mad political science on the cover of today's city paper for commitment to equality. You got Bernie Sanders, sense of duty, Pete Buttigieg, and Tom Steyer for plain-spoken pragmatism. Amy Klobuchar, and so some of the voices lost. I definitely liked Andrew Yang. I was in the Yang gang, but it's an interesting read to see about the aspects and attributes of the candidates that we wish you wish you had in one candidate going against Trump in November. But you get what you get. And I'm just curious to put you on the spot, Sam. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
You know, if I had to put money on it, I would say that Biden would take it. I think Sanders comes in striking distance. You know, I think the real unknown is Tom Steyer and the effect he'll have on the South Carolina primary. He's spent millions of dollars in the state, and it kind of remains to be seen exactly how that will materialize in the state. You know, he has spent $14 million on TV and radio ads in the past 7 months, and over $2 million just targeting Facebook ads in South Carolina since the beginning of last year. So he has dumped, he is banking, literally banking on South Carolina. It's the only state where he's polling like he is in South Carolina. And, you know, he could get double digits, which, you know, split among the other candidates or the majority to one candidate who trails or wins by single digits could really turn the race. And I think that's one thing to look for on Saturday when the returns start coming in.
I agree with you. I think Biden is going to win, but by a slim margin over Bernie Sanders after having such a huge lead earlier in the political season. And then Tom Steyer, I think, is going to get double digits and come in third place. And then it's off to Super Tuesday. And I encourage everybody to check out the cover story in the Charleston City Paper written by this guy, the editor of the Charleston City Paper, Sam Spence. Sam, thank you for the knowledge and the conversation, and enjoy the rest of this week, buddy.
You too, Richard. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Sam Spence from the Charleston City Paper. Check it out, folks.